Yes, here it is. Second Timothy, chapter 2. Second Timothy, chapter 2. Again, the theme of camp this year was faith, heroes of the faith. And in chapter 11, we during the week, and we looked at, and a lot of the kids learned the verses. And we looked at a lot of the heroes of the faith, and they talked about it. But the end of the thing is like, you could be a hero of the faith too. And we talked about them being heroes. And every morning, the pastor, the youth pastor, someone from the church has morning devotions with their kids. And we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, then Hebrews 12 to 12, where there's a great cloud. And then looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And we talked about that. And then I talked about over in Timothy, where that Paul, the end of his life. And we're going to look at that tonight. And I talked about, and one of the key things I look at is that soldiers, being soldiers. We're soldiers for the Lord, amen? So tonight, the title of the lesson, and directed towards teenagers, of course, it's directed toward all of us, but how we can be good soldiers. Five qualities of a good soldier. Five qualities of a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, you've all been studying for a while. Just let's stand up and read these four verses together. I'll read verse 1, you all read 2, I read 3, you guys can read 4 like we do here. And then we'll have a word of prayer and get started. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man more entangle himself. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, a name that is above every name, the reason why we even meet here tonight, to worship and to praise you for all you've done. Lord, we have had a great service so far this evening. And Lord, hearing testimonies, singing, and Lord, just seeing pictures and slides and talking about camp. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that as we break the bread of life, Lord, first and foremost, Lord, get me out of the way. And may you speak through me this evening. May the words that come out of my mouth be your words. May the challenge we hear be from you tonight. And Lord, may you be lifted up. May we all be challenged to live, to be a better soldier for you in our life. And Lord, I just ask your blessing upon the reading and on the preaching. Have your will and way, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. This last song we sung before it, every service we start or get ready to have the preaching, that's like the song we sing at camp, and let the Lord have his way. And Pastor Crone or just others always say, now listen, we want you to listen what God that created the universe, the God that loves you, the God that gave us his son and died for us. We want you to listen to what he has from you, from a man of God preaching the word of God. And honestly, and I don't know how long it's going to take, but hopefully by 7:15 we'll be done and get out of here. But listen as we speak from the word of God. Qualities of being a good soldier. I wanted to go to Bible college, and God called me to go to Bible college. But I really didn't know how I was going to afford it. I got saved at 13 years old at Calvary Baptist, and it was in Illion at the time. And Dave Bullis and Mrs. Bullis are here tonight. So, I mean, Dave was my first youth pastor. And when I got saved, I started there, and shortly after, I got called. I got baptized, and that first year I got called to preach with some other young men. And Brother Dave was youth pastor. And, of course, our pastor eventually left, and Brother Dave and Mrs. Debbie came up here, and so did a few other people from our church came up to Friendship here. And then Dave knew God calling him in the ministry and going to be a missionary. So Dave went down to Florida to go to Bible college. So I went down to visit him my senior years, and I'm already in. I already did basic training aspect. I'm going to be Uncle Sam's property. I was in Fort Bliss, Texas, and I was going off to Fort Sill, Oklahoma for my training school. And Brother Dave said, well, it's not too late. I said, well, it is. I'm Uncle Sam. He says, never too late with God. He said, well, just pray about it. And the Lord don't want you to go there, be in the service? You won't. And while I was still at his house, my grandmother calls and said, hey, you're sergeant or whatever, the guy doesn't kind of charge me, and he always brought me up to Griffiths twice a week because I had this issue with weight. You know, I had to make sure I stayed under my 209 limit. So he kept bringing me up here and working out, and he said, hey, Bush is doing cutbacks. If you want out, you got one chance and one chance only. I was like, what? You want out? And so then he said you had to be here at my office by 5 p.m. Friday, whatever, to sign the paperwork, whatever how it was. It's like, my flight don't fly back to Saturday, or whatever how it is. And they changed things around, or I don't exactly remember how everything went, but I got back here, and I had, like, within an hour to spare. So it's like God's directing, God's dealing. But when I got saved, I got put in the Lord's army. The day you got saved, you become a soldier in the Lord's army, amen? As Paul... Let's flip to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. These are other verses we're going to look at. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As Paul was nearing the end of his life, he was in Roman prison. But from the cell, the great apostle Paul penned the words to Timothy. He wrote to young Timothy, give him the secret of how to be a good soldier. And tonight, we're in the Lord's army. And the Lord wants us to be good soldiers. The Lord wants us to fight the good fight of faith like Paul did. But how can we do this? I want this message to be encouragement. I want this message for you young folks to be encouragement, to be a help as you look into it and how we can be a good soldier for Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm all with alliteration, so they're all, every all 5 points has the word F in it. So number one, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, he is a good follower. He is a good follower. He follows his commander, amen? He does what he's told to do. He's adherent. He's a disciple. One who is fully loyal and supportive. The one they're going to give his allegiance to. He's a follower. It implies three different things tonight. A good follower replies three different things. It replies, first of all, you got to have that relationship. And so, I don't know if anyone's not in this room tonight is not saved, but possibility there is. You know, there's some teenagers that made a profession, prayed at 4 years old, 5 years old, and they're wondering and dealing, and wondering, did I really mean it? Am I saved or not? And doubting. You know what? There might be some doubts in here. To be in the same boat. Just not sure. And we're not trying, we never want anyone to doubt their salvation. We're never going to preach like that. My pastor ain't like that. I'm not like that. We don't want you, but we want you to know for sure. Amen. We want you to have it settled. The Bible says you can know. K-N-O-W. You can know for sure. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to say, I wonder, maybe, I think so. No, you can have it settled. You can know for sure. It implies relationship. You must get in the army first. You must join his team. You must get on the winning side, amen? You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the only one that can save your soul, amen? Jesus and Jesus alone. John 3:3, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Got to believe in him. So it implies getting a relationship with him. You can't be a good follower of Jesus Christ if you don't belong to him, amen? So if you don't belong to him, get belonging to him tonight, amen? That's my plug on salvation. Number two, it applies rank. As a good follower, I can't say, hey, commander, wait, there's a better way of doing it. I can't say, even though I might at times might think I know a better way. We don't, who are we to tell Jesus, amen? Who are we to tell our leader? There are always, and I always think about this, there's always someone higher than us. There's always, each and every one of us, no matter where you are in your job, wherever you are, even if you own your own business in a way, there's always someone you're going to answer to, amen? We're always going to. So, in the Lord's army, every child of God is under the rank of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be good followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? We're not supposed to do our own thing, try our own thing. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, 19 and 20, we know the verses. You know, in the Lord's army, or Gideon, you know, Gideon started out with an army. How many? Anybody remember? Thousands? 32,000? And then they told him to take them down. And then there was still too many. And then the Lord, how many did he end up with? 300. And that's all there was. But really, did they fight the fight? No, no, the Lord did the fighting, amen? From a general down to a sergeant, downsizing, even down to a private. You know, when it comes to the army, we're in the Lord's army, he's our commander-in-chief, amen? And we need to follow after God. And only it deals with relationship. It deals with rank, but it also deals with rules. You know, I've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price, amen? And we are to follow what the Lord wants us to do. I can't do my own thing, amen? We can't do our own things in church. You know, there's a leadership thing. Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor said he might be the pastor of the church, and I believe in pastoral authority, but he'd be the first one to admit that he's not in charge. It's the Lord. And he, and like my pastor there, I follow my pastor as he follows the Lord, amen? And as we follow the Lord and follow the leadership, there's rules. When we refuse to follow the orders, if you're in our service, and several of you have been, if you don't follow your leader, what happens? What happens, Mr. Gamut? Not a good day. You can find yourself in trouble, you can get court-martialed. And if you don't follow a serious offense, you can even be held for treason, right? When we are in the Lord's army, we are obligated to follow him. We are obligated to obey his orders, obey his rules, all the way up to death, amen? Notice the call that Christ has. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And again, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, which we looked at in Sunday school class this morning, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, again, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, he has to what? He's got to deny himself. It can't be, okay, Lord, I'm following you. Get behind me, Lord. No, we got to stay in the right. I got to follow rules. If I'm going to be a good soldier, I can't do my own thing. You can't do your own thing. There's guidelines. There's rules that we need to follow. And they're not rules like, man, where the Lord can put his hand on us to keep us down. No, the Lord knows us better than ourselves, amen? And he gives us rules. He gives us things to follow because he, in all honesty, knows what's best for us and what we can do. He knows how the devil wants to tempt us and take us astray and take us out. And he wants boundaries to help keep us. Some people hate boundaries. They hate boundaries. It keeps me. I love boundaries, amen? Because it knows you got all the freedom and liberty. And in RU ministry, you hear about this in RU, and you got all the freedom and liberties within the boundaries. But once you step out of the boundaries, you're changing liberty into bondage. Right. There's a lot of liberty we have in Christ. But we must, as be a good follower. We must have the relationship with him, and I hope you do. You must follow in rank, and you must follow the rules. We are not our own, amen? James chapter 4, verse 17 talks about us, you know. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth not is sin. And we do our own things, it's going to lead us to sin. And when we sin it, when it's finished, it what? Lead us to death. Let's be a good follower. Let's follow our leader. Let's follow our master. Let's not be a traitor. Let's not be do our own things. Let's, number one, the first F is being a good follower. Number two, a good soldier is a faithful soldier. Faithful. You can count on him, amen? He's dependable. He's loyal. He's consistent. He's constant. He's steadfast. He's committed. He's dedicated. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Apostle Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, and he counted me faithful. Counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. The great Apostle Paul said, man, I'm the least of the apostles. But did he do the greatest for the Lord? He was his key ingredient. I talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. He was faithful, amen. He was faithful. Over in 2 Timothy again, in verse 2 and verse 3, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Faithful men. I had great men that taught me the word of God. Youth pastors, preachers, Brother Dave, Pastor Jeff. I went to college and Dr. Cummings, and I had Brother Chapman was a youth pastor down there. Eight men that trained me, men that God put in my life to be like a youth pastor, be a leader. And then I was able, and they taught me things, and I learned it, and I applied 2 Timothy chapter 2. The things that I had heard among faithful men, I learned it. I was taught it, and I committed it there, and I learned about it, and then I had to go out. And I had to, when I was in the ministry, I had a church in Mansfield, Ohio, and look there and try to get some teenagers and others that I can teach and try to train up. And I was in Virginia. I had a young man named Stephen that wanted to be a missionary pilot that I devoted time and gave to him. And I have a young man, he was back there, over there, Josh. And I tell him, like, I try to be pastor's right-hand man. I just want to assist and help my pastor the best I can. And I thank for, like, having a young man like Josh helping me and doing everything I can. And I just want to try to do all I can to help grow him. That one day that he could take it over. And that he could be that preacher. And I want to encourage you to come Wednesday night. You don't want me to say this. Josh is preaching Wednesday night. There he is right there. Come support him preaching, man. He thought I was going to have the teenager go upstairs. No, we're going to be in here and support it. But Josh is preaching. But I want to give what I have and what I know, and I don't know much. But what I want to know, I want to be able to give to him. I want to be able to give to other young people that they can learn it. And then they can pass it on to even others. Amen? And that should be each and every one of us. We need to be faithful stewards. Faithful to the word. And in Paul's life, he was faithful. You can see it in three ways. They're all P's here. In his patience. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. He endured hardness, right? Paul went through a lot. The Lord even told him that he was going to go through a lot. And he did. He wasn't like the normal Christian. That's it. I'm done with these. I'm out of here. You Corinthians, forget you. I mean, I wrote the first book. You didn't get it. Forget the second. You Galatians, you Ephesians, you Philippi. No. He had patience. He dealt with them. He loved them. He endured hardness. He didn't have you offend me, I quit attitude. A good soldier realizes that there will be trouble along the way. There will be detours to take. But he's fine with that because he's going to keep on keeping on. It's going to keep going. John 16:33 is a great verse to look at, y'all. Please remember that Christians are called upon to face life, even in extreme circumstances. Hebrews 12:1, there's a great cloud of witnesses looking. We wouldn't be asked to do it if we couldn't handle it, amen? You see his faithfulness in his patience. You can see his faithfulness in his priorities. He kept the main thing, preaching the word, telling folks about Christ, amen? Preaching Christ. You know, others wanted to try to derail him and try to, and we're going through the book of Corinthians, how they try to discredit him, ruin his character, and talk bad about Apostle Paul. He got discouraged at times, we all do. But he kept going, amen? Because he had his priorities right. Young folks, if you're going to be a good soldier, you got to get your priorities right. It's devotions before games. It's devotions before TV. It's devotions. It's spending time with God. Devotions. Adults, it's devotions over the newspaper. It's devotions over your Facebook account. I mean, there's a lot of good things I know you want to see about it. I know you want to know what you want to talk about, or Instagram or Snapchat and all these other stupid things out there. I don't care. Devotions first. Spend your time with God. Get in the book. Make much from the book, and God can make much out of you. Prioritize. And, of course, his patience or his practice. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say about Paul again? How did he fight? I have fought a good fight. He didn't fight a bad fight. He fought a good fight. He had his patience. He had his priorities, but he practiced what was right and living right and doing right. He finished his course. He kept the faith. He practiced. He guarded the truth of faith. Several verses I can share with you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Apostle Paul says this, only let your conversation be as that becometh of the gospel. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Working, being faithful, not quitting. Keep on keeping on. Second thing I see with Apostle Paul is that he was faithful. First thing, he was a follower. Follow the leader. Are you following your leader right? Number two, are you faithful? Number three, he's familiar. What I mean by that is that he knew what he was saying. He was skillful. He was skillful with his weapons. What was Apostle Paul's weapons? The same weapons we got, amen? The sword of the word of the Lord, right? Prayer. Prayer is a great weapon we have, amen? How much do you spend in the Word of God? How much time do you spend praying, spending time on your knee? A good soldier knows that he is engaged in mortal warfare. He knows his enemy is looking to devour him. Your enemy's looking just for a small crack that you leaving that window open a little bit, leaving that door open just a little bit, and he's just going to work his way in there. Why? He's like that. He's a serpent. He's sly. He knows how to get to you. But a good soldier's going to be skillful with his weapons. He's going to know his enemy. He knows that his enemy is going to be there. He ain't going to underestimate his enemy, the serpent, the lion. You and I do well to learn spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, amen. Do you know the parts of the armor? Why we have it and why we need it, and we need to put it on every day, amen? He also not only knows skills of his weapon, he knows the strategy of his enemy. A good soldier knows his enemy. He knows his activities. He knows his enemy's days are numbered. Right? You know the enemy's not going to give up without a fight. He's going to come at you, and he's going to come at you. But you counteract the enemy. You keep fighting, knowing, hey, I'm not doing this alone. The Lord's with me, amen? I know the Word of God says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that He's never going to give me more than I can handle, amen? In any way, when temptations come, young people, when temptation comes from the tempter, I know there's a way to what? Escape. I know it because I'm skillful with my weapons. I know the enemy strategy. And I'm also surrounded by friends. I'm surrounded. We're here for each other, or we're supposed to be here for each other, amen? Amen? We're supposed to be helping each other. We're not supposed to be tearing each other down, kicking each other while we're down. We're supposed to be helping each other, building each other up, edifying, helping each other. And that's what church is good, amen? I'm here for you, and you're here for me. We help each other because we know we're in a battle. And if we're going to be good soldiers, we got to make sure we got each other's back. We got to make sure we're helping each other, amen? A good soldier, he's familiar with his weapons, the skills of his weapons, the strategy of his enemy, and the surroundings of his friends. How important is church to you? You know, when church is, when the doors are open, we should be here, amen? Hebrews 10:25. Forsaken not the assembly. Well, we gather together. We gather, yes, to worship the Lord. That's the primary reason. We don't come to play ball, boys. We come to worship the Lord. But you know what? In the blessing that we get to come and worship the Lord and serve God here, we get to make some friendships. We get to have some sweet fellowships with others. Amen? What a great, I mean, can't beat it. You are my family. You're closer to my family than my own family. I love no one more important than loving you guys here at church on the face of the earth now. First, Lord, then my wife, then my children, then you guys, okay? Let you know. That's how it is. I don't love the people that go to that church more than I love my church. Amen? I love you guys. I don't love another pastor more than I love my pastor. But, good soldiers, we're going to help each other. Boys, like Pastor Crone said, if your team's not in the Super Bowl playing, you know, encourage your friend's team that's playing. Amen? Help, encourage, you don't be speaking bad about your friend. Lift your friends up. Help each other. Amen? Number four. The fourth point I see tonight, and I got to move. Number four, he's a fighter. A good soldier is going to be a fighter. Amen? He's going to fight the good fight of faith. Paul makes three statements in that verse about being a good soldier. Amen? I see three D's here about being a good fighter. Number one, I see the Apostle Paul, he was determined. He was determined. He was determined to keep it on, keep it on. He was determined that he's going to keep going forward and onward for God. He was not going to retreat. He was not going to surrender. Amen? He's going to keep fighting. He's going to face his enemy. He wasn't going to run. Amen? He stood his ground. He fought his battles to the end until they took his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19 and 20. He was determined. Are you determined to be a good soldier? Are you determined that you're going to fight the good fight of faith? He was determined. He was driven. He was driven. What I mean by he was driven, he knew what the Lord did for him. Amen. And because what the Lord did for him, he said, how can I do any less? That's right. And if I lay down my life for him, he laid down his life for me, I can lay my life down for him for the cause. He was driven. A good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time, his frame, his ways. It's all about the Lord. He doesn't surrender. He doesn't stop going. He's driven. He's driven until he hears the sound of the trumpet. He's driven. And when I think of our theme last year here at Vacation Bible School, the finish line. Amen? He's driven to cross, to finish the finish line, get over, till he graduates to heaven. He's just going to keep on keeping on. He's driven. And he was also dedicated. A good soldier is dedicated. Dedicated to the cause. I'm going to fight. It's a message I heard a long time ago, and I still have it on a cassette player. One of those. I don't know if I even have a cassette to play it on, but I have it. There's things worth fighting for. The name of the sermon, there's things worth fighting for. And this is back in the 80s. And there's things worth fighting for back then, and there's still worth things fighting for today, amen? And it's not what color, what matter what color these pews or this color the carpet's going to be. It's not worth fighting over that. But about the book, amen. About the virgin birth, about the blood of Christ, there's some things worth fighting for, amen? And we need to fight for truth. We need to fight for what's right. You know, they want to try to hush us up or shut us up. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Evil is evil, good is good, and we're going to proclaim it, amen? To be a good soldier, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to be dedicated. Say, hey, is there a cause? Yes, there is a cause. Am I going to get involved like Esther? Yes, I'm going to get involved. Am I going to be determined and I'm going to have courage like Daniel? Yes. Paul was a fighter. Last but not least, he was a finisher. If you're going to be a good soldier, you got to finish your course. Amen. So if we were to stand, before we walk out of here tonight, the trumpets sound. It's over. And we're going to stand before God. How will you stand before God tonight? Would he say you're being a good soldier? Would he say to you that you were a good soldier? Would he say that you are a good finisher? Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he was a good finisher. He had resolve. As for me, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, amen? My earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, he says, that he's going to magnify Christ, either by life or by death, verse 20. And verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had resolve. He said he wasn't going to dip his colors. He wasn't going to dip. He said, I'm going out on top. I'm going to be that good soldier. He was a good fighter. He was a good finisher. Why? He had reason to. He wanted to please his Savior. Amen. He wanted to hear his Lord say, well done, thou good and servant. Why does a good soldier endure hardness? Why does he stay in the fight? Why does he suffer all that he suffered? Because he wants to please his master. 1 Corinthians 10:31, all we do, amen? Whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do what? Do all to the glory of God. He had resolved, he had reason, and he also knew there was a reward to get. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. He was a good finisher. I close by giving you five qualities of a good soldier. He was a follower. Follow Jesus Christ. Are you a good follower? Number two, he was what? He was faithful. Number three, he was familiar. He knew what he was supposed to do. Number four, he was a fighter. Number five, he was a finisher. Lord, I do thank you, Lord God, for the evening. Lord, I thank you for our teenagers, even the younger ones, Lord, the juniors. Lord, I thank you for the privilege I had to go to camp and to minister those 2 weeks with them. And Lord, I've seen you do some great things in some of their lives. But Lord, we don't want to just raise good kids. We want to raise some good, godly kids here. We want some kids to grow up, to be that young Timothy that becomes that Paul, that does what 2 Timothy 2:2 says. And so, Lord, it is my desire to see all these teenagers and young children in here to be a good soldier. And Lord, help us as adults to get behind them and do all we can to support them and to challenge them and to train them up. And Lord, help us ourselves to be good soldiers. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor. Amen.
You a good soldier? I mean, you examine your heart and you examine your life. Are you in the fight? Are you doing something for the Lord? You serving the Lord? You staying true to the Word of God? You staying faithful? Staying true to the Master? God, Brother Bill started with this. When God saved us, we are enlisted into the army. We're a soldier of the Lord. Every one of us. Every person that's been born again by the Spirit of God is a soldier of the Lord. There is no exceptions. So I want faith to play softly. And I want you to take a moment and quiet your heart before the Lord. And I want you to ask yourself, what kind of a soldier am I? Am I serving the Lord? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I faithful? Do I fight for that which is worth fighting for? The things that are godly, the things that are right, the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Do I fight for them? Are you fighting? New young people, stay in the fight.